The following message was given by Brother Dennis Cooley in the church in New York City on the Lord's Day, September 18, 2016. The title of the message is Lighting the Lamps in the Sanctuary of God by Serving as Priests, Clothed with the Expression of Christ. Scripture verses are Exodus chapter 27, verse 20 to Exodus chapter 28, verse 5. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5, 7. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 5, 9.
Praise you this morning. Praise you, you have saved us and called us with a holy calling. Thank you, we are here in your house, in your dwelling place, in the church your heart's desire. Lord, we like to be here serving you as the New Testament priests, serving you in your house, that you could have what you are after. Oh, we pray you would speak to us this morning. Make this word so practical in our daily life, so practical in our church life. Lord, we give all the praise and thanks to you. Anoint your word and anoint every one of us. Oh, give us the proper heart, good ground for your word to find root and plant it in our hearts. Lord, we love you. Amen. 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 God's desire, the desire of his heart, was hidden in eternity past. It was a mystery there. But he had a heart's desire. And eventually, he made this heart's desire known to his holy apostles and prophets in spirit. And this desire is that he would have an expression on the earth today. He would have a group of people who would be filled with him and who would express him in their daily living, and who would gather together, and in the times together when they're gathered into his name, he could be expressed. And that expression, that is a corporate expression, is the church of God. It is the church which we treasure and which we desire. And this morning, or this week, we've been reviewing this message in Exodus on the lighting of the lamps in the sanctuary of God by serving as priests clothed with the expression of Christ. Kind of a long title. I told the brothers, just shorten it. Lighting of the lamps is good enough. But actually, the lighting of the lamps is a very significant point. And I hope that the Lord could speak to us this morning related to the church meetings. All the church meetings should be full of light. But the responsibility of providing and of lighting the lamps is by the priests. We bear the responsibility of lighting the lamps. And so actually this message we're reviewing, this portion we're covering, is really only a few verses in Exodus 27. After the longer section from chapters 25 through almost the end of 27, God gives us all the details of the tabernacle and its furniture. And then in 28, he starts to talk about the priestly garments and the robes and all the items related to the priests. Another long section. There are these two verses at the end of chapter 27, which are quite significant. And I think many of us, I've read this portion many, many times, I just kind of go through and keep rolling and don't pay that much attention to these two verses. But we read them this morning, and you, when Moses wrote in verse 20, "And you shall command the children of Israel to bring to you pure oil of beaten olives for the light, to make the lamps shine continually. In the tent of meeting, outside the veil, which is before the testimony, Aaron and his sons shall maintain it in order from evening to morning before Jehovah. It shall be a perpetual statute to be observed throughout their generations by the children of Israel." This is a precious two verses that I enjoyed this week. So as we get into this these points, I'd like to share with you what I've enjoyed, and then I'm going to leave adequate time for you to share what you've enjoyed from these verses this week and from this section. And the thing that struck me in these first two verses is that this is a commandment to do something in chapter 27, verse 20. So far, there's been a lot of details about the tabernacle, about the sections of the tabernacle, details about the furniture and how to make it. But here, God is commanding Moses, he's telling Moses to command the children of Israel to bring pure oil, and I like this phrase, of beaten olives. He could have said pure olive oil, right? But he said pure oil of beaten olives for the light to make them shine continually. So this is something necessary for God's expression. If there is no lighting of the lamp in the holy place, I think you all know, are familiar with the diagram of the tabernacle, right? You have the outer court, and then you have, which has the offering of burnt offer, altar of burnt offering, and the laver. Then you enter into the holy place, and there's a showbread table, and there's the lampstand, and there is the incense altar, and then the innermost part is the Holy of Holies, where you have the ark with where God is dwelling between the cherubim in his Shekinah glory. In that holy place, there are no windows, and there's no skylight. So if there is no windows and no skylight, that place is full of darkness. But God's intention is not for the tent of meeting, where he is dwelling and where his people can come to meet him, be dark at all, right? Because God is light. So right away he mentions, command the children of Israel to bring this oil of beaten olives, and that the priests should take care of the lamps in the tent of meeting. From evening until morning they would light the lamps, and the light would ascend. So that this precious place, the holy place, the tent of meeting, where God is and where God's people can meet with him, would be full of light. This is a very precious, precious point. We want all of our meetings to be full of light. We don't like to meet in darkness, so we need to be those priests who are lighting the lamps and bringing the light to the meeting, so the meetings would be full of light. So the first point is, maybe we should define light a little more. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 tells us clearly, God is light. Amen. Let's read that verse together. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. God is light. The light we're talking about here in picture, in type, in the tabernacle, and in reality in the New Testament, this light is God himself. He is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And then verse 7, let's read that. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from every sin. This is the light we're talking about. God is light. Light is God expressed. You know, in the Bible it tells us God is spirit, God is love, and God is light. These three things. And these are all related to God himself. Spirit is the nature of God's person. Love is the nature of God's essence. And light is the nature of God's expression. And I was touched by this, you know. God's desire is to be expressed. And when he is expressed, he's expressed as light. That is the nature of his expression. So in giving us this type, this picture in the Old Testament of the tent of meeting where God would meet with his people, the first thing he mentions is light the lamps. Bring the oil and light the lamps. So I was just very touched by this. He wants to be expressed as light. And today, in all the meetings of the church, we must serve God by bringing in the light, by lighting the lamps. And we'll get more into this in our experience in a little more detail. So the first point is, God is light. But as children of God, we also are children of light. Let's look at Ephesians 5:8 and read that together. For you were once darkness, now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. God is light, but because we are His children, we're born of God, we become children of light. And we need to walk as children of light. Walk is related to our living, to our daily living. And we'll get into this a little bit later. Not only we are children of light, but we need to walk as children of light. We need to walk in the light as He is in the light, so that this light could be expressed in all of the church meetings, and also could be expressed in our daily living, right? Philippians 2, 15 and 16 are some verses that talk a little bit about that. Let's read this. That you may be blameless and guileless children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you shine as luminaries in the world, holding forth the word of life, so that I may have a boast in the day of Christ, that I did not run in vain, nor labor in vain. We are children of light. And we need to be those who shine as luminaries in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation. This is what the Bible says we are. We are light. And we need to shine. We need to shine out to all those around us. So our living, the way we live, and how the amount to and degree to which we are in the Word and enjoy the Lord in the Word, that is the degree to which we will shine in our daily life and we will affect the people around us. Praise the Lord. We are light. We are children of light. We are luminaries in the midst of this crooked and perverted generation. Praise the Lord. So this is related to God being light and our needing to walk in the light, to live in the light, and to express the God who is living inside of us in our daily life. Then, the second point I want to cover is related to the service of the priesthood. In this picture, in the typology, the lamps were lit by the holy priests, by the priesthood, by a corporate body of priests in the sanctuary of God. And I was really struck by this. On the one hand, all of us are individual children of God. But for God's expression in the sanctuary, in the holy place, His intention and His instruction to us is that we would serve together as the priests to light the lamps and to trim the lamps and to keep them lit from morning to evening, which also has a little significance. This verse does not mention the day. It only mentions from evening to morning. It only mentions the night. And we have a verse in 2 Peter. Maybe we could look at that verse. 2 Peter 1:19. Let's read this together. And we have the prophetic word made more firm, to which you do well to give heed as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your hearts. This verse and this portion in Exodus gives us the implication that we are living in a dark night. This world, until the Lord comes, until the day dawns, and the morning star rises in our hearts, until the Lord comes again the second time, This world is full of darkness. And even though we are children of light, we're in this age of darkness. I mean, you just even read the newspaper. You realize this world is full of darkness. People don't, they're in darkness, so they don't see what is valuable. They don't see what is important. And they may treasure things that are really not worthy of any kind of honor. But the reason is because they are in darkness. So we need to be those who shine. And the church meetings need to be a place full of light, so that when people come, they are in the light. And the light can shine on them, and they can see what is really valuable. You know, anyway, praise the Lord. let me touch this word sanctuary for a minute. This tabernacle is God's dwelling place. But it is also, in these verses in Exodus, the tent of meeting for God's people. So this sanctuary, this holy place, is where God dwells and where His people meet. So I just had a fresh appreciation of this word, sanctuary. You know, I grew up in the denominations, and the sanctuary was a physical place where, you know, they had the church meeting at that time. So, you know, we were taught as children, you know, you have to be quiet in the sanctuary and behave yourself, which is not bad. We shouldn't play baseball during the meeting. But anyway, the sanctuary is not just a physical place. In fact, it is not, of course, in the Old Testament, it is a physical place. But it is not a physical place. It is wherever the children of God are gathered together. Wherever we are meeting, that is the sanctuary. And it's a marvelous place. The meeting is a wonderful place. And we should treasure the meetings. We should love the meetings, because this is where we meet with God. And this is where we find, we saw in the last few weeks covering this book also, at the altars there's a place for us, right? Even a place for the sparrow to find her home, and the swallow to make her nest for her young. This is a sanctuary. This is a refuge from the world. This is a precious place. And in this place, God needs serving priests. He needs those who will light the lamps. You know, I thought about this a little bit this week. Actually, when I say this, God needs this. God's intention and His plan is that there would be serving priests. He could make it bright in there on His own. He could just, you know, light the lamps Himself. But that's not the way He has ordained. That is not the way He has chosen. He has chosen that in the sanctuary, in the meeting place of the believers, where the children, His children meet, the lamp should be lit by the serving priests, by all those New Testament priests who serve the Lord. What a privilege we have, and what a responsibility we have to bring in light. All of our functioning should be light. Even for us to say amen in the meeting with our spirit should bring in light. Amen?
Amen.
It brings light, because we are children of light. And we have the light of life. We have the Lord living in us. So we need to realize that it is our responsibility to bring in the light. Now, this light is God Himself. This is not a natural light of the sun. Neither is this a man-made light, you know, like our electric lights. This is the divine light of God. And maybe I just give this little testimony. When I left home to go to college, so I left St. Louis to go to Chicago to go to college. And the first week in college, I was asked if I would like to take a job singing in the chapel choir there. I thought, oh, wow, I'm going to get paid. That's really good, you know. So I said, sure. I took this job. Little did I know what I was getting into. And I started to go to that. Of course, we had to sing on the Lord's Day morning in their service there. And it wasn't too long that I realized that this chapel was not a real Christian meeting, the way I grew up in a Christian denomination. They spoke about political things, spoke about the Vietnam War. They talked about social issues. They talked about social equality among the races. They talked about cultural things. They brought in this new, I'm serious, on the Lord's Day morning, they talked about the Beatles changing the music industry. That was not divine light. There was no enlightening in that meeting. There was no divine life of God in that meeting. It was just a lot of man-made light, maybe a little natural light, I don't know. But it wasn't too long, and I was calling my mother and, you know, calling home and saying, God, saying, Mom, tell me again, Jesus did die for our sins, right? We are saved, correct? Right. Why? Because I didn't hear anything of light in that meeting. And we don't want the church meeting to have that kind of a situation, right? So we need to be those serving priests who bring in the light. Bring in the light of life. Whenever we gather together, we are meeting in God's dwelling place. And this should be full of life. So, now I want to come to Psalm 36, verse 9. Let's read that verse together. For with you is the fountain of life. In your light, we see light. Now here we're connecting life and light. We also have John 1, 4, and 5, and verse 9. Let's read those verses as well. We want to connect this matter of life to light. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. This was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. Life and light go together. Of course, God is light, and he is life. But when he came as a man in Matthew chapter 4, it says that he came as the light to people sitting in darkness. This is the first expression before the expression of him being life to man was that he was light to man. The light shined in the darkness so that men could realize their real condition and they could realize their need of a Savior. And it's the same with us in our experience of Christ. First of all, the light came and we realized we were sinners and we need the Lord. So we turn to him and receive him and we're saved, and then we receive him as our life. He is the light of life. And so in Psalm it says, for with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light. Your light is the divine light of God. And our seeing light is to see the real situation. Sometimes it's to see our condition. Sometimes it's to see something of Christ, and some aspect of Christ, that we can enjoy him and experience him. But it is in this divine light that we see light and are enlightened. Amen. And this is further seen in the book of Psalms. In Psalm, let's look at 77:13 first. Psalm 77, verse 13. O God, your way is in the sanctuary. Your way is in the sanctuary. We find God's way in the meeting of the saints, in the sanctuary, because God is light here, and light is shining here, and we find the way in the sanctuary. And this is further seen in Psalm 73. And this psalm is talking about, well, Asaph is the psalmist, and he was troubled by all the, you know, evil ones, the heathens, are blessed. And yet he who follows the Lord and loves God, he's suffering and passing through trials and tribulations. And then in verse 16 and 17, let's read this. When I considered this, in order to understand it, it was a troublesome task in my sight. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I perceived. When Asaph went into the sanctuary of God, into the meeting place of God, and we heard on Friday night, he may not have even gotten all the way into the Holy of Holies because he was a Levite. Anyway, he entered into where God meets with his people. Then he saw light. He realized those people have a certain end. He realized following the Lord is still the only way for us to live. We may suffer, we may go through things, but still we need to love the Lord with all our heart. We need to follow Him and serve Him faithfully. But it is in the sanctuary, in the church meetings, that oftentimes we get clear. And I can testify this many times. I'm not so clear about what to do, trying to decide something, figure something out. I'm praying about it, but I just can't seem to find an answer. But I come to the church meeting. And in the church meeting, the saints open their mouth, and they just share something, what they've enjoyed of the Lord. And what happens? Light comes. And they may not say anything. Actually, most of the time, they don't know what I'm going through. They don't say anything about my particular situation. But in the meeting of the saints, in the dwelling place of God, light comes. And I just get clear. I just get clear what I should do or whatever thing I'm passing through, and I need some answer from the Lord. The answer comes in the sanctuary. Don't you love the church meetings? We should treasure the church meetings. The church meetings mean everything to us. You know, the basic definition of the church is ecclesia, which is the meeting. There are many, many expressions and aspects of the church, and they're very high and they're very deep, but the most basic one is the meeting. If we would never meet, where would the church be? How could God be expressed if there's no meeting? I don't think we could have such an expression. That's a very basic thing. And our first service to the Lord is to come to the meeting. Watchman Nee says this in this lesson on the meetings, right? All of our first service is to come to the meeting. So I hope that I've this week have more appreciation for the church meetings and more appreciation for all the dear saints serving as priests and sharing what they've enjoyed of the Lord, which brings in light that we could all be illumined and be fed. Amen. Amen. Now, let me, a couple more points here. One is, there are certain elements involved whenever we experience the genuine lighting of the lamps in the church meetings. And they are seen in type with this picture of the lampstand. The lampstand is made of gold, beaten into the certain shape. And then there are wicks in the middle of the lamps, which are made of, not of gold. Gold doesn't burn, but they're made of plant material, maybe cotton or flax or something like that, made of plant material. And those wicks actually by themselves also cannot burn. They need to be soaked in oil. If you just light the wick without the oil, it'll just smoke for a while. But if you light the wick that has been soaked in oil, then the flame comes and you have the real light. And there is quite a lot of meaning here. We saw earlier, last month I think, or maybe 6 weeks ago, that the lampstand is a type of the triune God, because God's nature is gold and this lampstand is all of gold. But this gold is not a lump of gold. It has a special, specific shape. And Christ the Son is the embodiment of the triune God. And as a man who is God and the embodiment of God, he has a certain shape. He has a form. He came in the form and in the likeness of man. So in this lampstand, in this picture of the lampstand, you can see the Father is there as the gold, and the Son is there as the embodiment of God, as the shape, and the Spirit is there as the oil, and the wick is there as the humanity of Christ. So you see a marvelous picture of the triune God, not in a doctrinal way, but in the way of experience, because first God has to become a man, pass through this process, and put on humanity to have this aspect of the wick. And then he has to pass through death and resurrection to become the Spirit of Christ, which we have in Romans 8, 9. The Spirit of Christ. And there, the Spirit of Christ is typified by the oil in the lamp, which is the olive oil of beaten olives. Beaten olives. Quite a significant phrase. I was struck by this. For the Lord to pass through death and resurrection, he has to be crushed. He had to be beaten. Even before he was crucified, he was beaten. He suffered quite a bit on our behalf and passed through the cross so that he could become the life-giving Spirit. So that he could shed his blood for us and become the Spirit of Christ, that we could experience him today as the life-giving, all-inclusive Spirit. So all of these elements are included in this picture of the lampstand. And all of these elements are included in our, and must be our experience, so that we could be the proper priests for lighting the lamps. Let's look at, I think we read this already, 1 Peter 2:5. But let's read this again. You yourselves also. So, this phrase talks about holy priesthood. A holy priesthood. So, this is the qualification of the priests. We must be holy. And that involves more than simply being separated from the world. Of course we need to be separated from the world. But it also means we need to be constituted and saturated with God Himself. And we need to experience what Christ experienced, being limited as a man on the earth. We experience limitation. And we need to experience the cross of Christ and the death of Christ to our temper, to ourself, to our flesh. We need many experiences of Christ to be qualified to be the holy priests for the lighting of the lamps in the meetings. We need to experience the resurrection of Christ, the bountiful supply of the Spirit. So many things we need to experience to be able to function as the priests lighting the lamps. And this is typified by the holy garments we read in the beginning of chapter 28. Garments signify our daily living and our life. We're not here coming to the meeting on the Lord's Day or on Tuesday night or Friday night just to perform some outward duty. We're here to express the Christ we've experienced in our daily life. And the more Christ we experience in our daily life, the brighter the lamps will shine. And the more that Christ can flow out as we are serving together, as we're even in many services, the more Christ can be expressed. And that is what people need. That is what God wants, is His expression, to meet the need of all of mankind, that we would express Christ in our daily life. So, let me just come to this last burden. For the building up of the church, the house of God, for his expression, we need to take care of the meetings, and we need to strengthen the meetings of the church. The meetings of the church are very precious to the Lord, and they must be precious to us. We need to love the meetings, treasure the meetings. We need to prepare for the meetings, and we need to have a daily life in view of the meetings of the church, whether the small meetings, home meetings, small group meetings, church meetings, prayer meetings, the prophesying meetings, all the meetings of the church. We should treasure every one of the meetings. When I came into the church life, the meetings were so precious to me. And I lived in Manhattan, and it was a sacrifice to come out here 5 times a week. Traffic is terrible. But I counted it a joy to pay that price to come out here, because I treasured every meeting of the church. I hope we all would treasure the meetings of the church. We need to love the meetings, honor the meetings, and come to the meetings on time. We should actually come early to the meetings. Sometimes I notice that when I live so far away, I came earlier than when I live close by, you know. You want to make sure you leave early enough to fight the traffic to get here. And that happens to us sometimes. But wherever we're coming from, we need, if we really love the meetings and treasure the meetings, we will come early to the meeting. And we should come joyful to the meetings. We should be happy to come to the meetings. If we come to the meetings all gloomy and down and, you know, and you greet one another, yeah, I'm here, you know, that's not so good. We should come rejoicing. Amen. Praise the Lord, I'm here. Amen. Sometimes I ask the brothers, you know, when I come in, how are you? And, you know, we say this often, we really don't want to know exactly how you are. It's kind of a little pleasantry, but we say, how are you, you know? And there are a few brothers that answered this way, and I appreciate it. They say, I'm here, brother. It doesn't matter how I am. Now I'm here. It's good to be here in the church meeting, because I know I'll be better after the meeting than I was before the meeting. Why? Because the meetings are full of life, and they're full of God as light. So we should come to the meetings joyfully, and we should come to the meetings ready and prepared to exercise our spirit, to bring in the light for all the church meetings. And I would just want to end with this last point. Let us read Psalm 119:105, 130, and 130. Amen. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The opening of your words gives light, imparting understanding. For us to come to the meeting, for our daily life as believers, we must be in the Word every day. Life is in the Word. The Word is life. And the light is in the Word. And the Word becomes a light and a lamp to us for our path and for the way we should walk and we should live. We need the Word of God. The more we're in the Word of God, the more we receive Christ as life, and the more we are filled with Him, even as light, and experience Him as light. And the Word also sanctifies us as priests. So we want to end with John 17:17. Let's read that together. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word. So the word also sanctifies us. It constitutes us and makes us holy. It is the holy word of God. So may we all have such a daily living of experiencing Christ more and more, being filled with Him, being filled with the word. And may we come to the meetings and treasure them, love the meetings and come to the meetings to minister life to one another, to light the lamps in the church meetings, that God could have what He desires, His expression on the earth today. Amen. So now we'll have a couple of announcements, and the brothers will put out the microphones for us to prophesy.
Amen. Praise the Lord.